Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're making our way through chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians this week. As the church moves on to other chapters, I took this reading from Monday, the Mass of the day, and the church is walking us through the letter, which is a short letter, but very inspiring, very powerful, very relevant to each and every one of our lives, this living Word of God. And we've only gotten up through verse 10 so far. And you could just see how packed this Word of God is with life, with wisdom, with understanding. As I mentioned yesterday, Paul reveals critical elements, what a growing Christian community looks like, you know, the foundation of really life-transforming faith, hope, and love. The awareness that people can identify, it's not just a theory or something that they're reading in a book. The theological virtues are coming alive in their life, and they know that when they heard the gospel, the good news about Jesus, who he is, what he's done for us, what he's established, the way home to the Father, the living in the glory of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that's set before us, the kingdom of God present and at work through the church, Paul celebrates and he says he sees this emerging in this young community of people who for generations were pagans, were idolaters. False religion was what kind of dominated their lives, and the light of the gospel entered into that life. And many of them, in the small community, became believers in Jesus. They opened their hearts. They said yes. They came to the waters of baptism. Some Jewish converts came along the way as well. And the Holy Spirit brings them together. And Paul's rejoicing because he sees this stuff happening in them. And he knows that it can only happen, one, he said, because they're loved by God and chosen by God. And they've come to know it and understand it. And he's convinced about the clarity about what they're doing and the genuineness of their faith because it's a response to the preached word of God and the life example of the apostles and those that were with them, the brothers and sisters. The word about Jesus, his victory over the powers of sin and death, his offer of salvation, his resurrection from the dead, and his new life in the new creation. Paul's seeing people come to know that and to receive it and to begin to walk in it. And he said, how did this happen? They heard the word, the gospel. They experienced the power of it. And part of that power, friends, is exposing the sin-sick condition of the human heart. Like Paul says in Ephesians, for example, he begins that famous passage in verse 2. And you he made alive when you were dead. When you were dead, he's talking about people who've never physically died. You were dead, he said, in your sins. You were dead in the demonic world of the world, fallen world, the flesh and the devil we talked about this week. In a death-directed destiny, and you came to hear the good news that Jesus has made a way, the one way of hope for the human race, the one destiny which will never be shaken, which will never be taken away, which is the very life of God itself, the kingdom of God. And Paul saw that, those powers at work in these brothers and sisters, because they began to love each other. They began to worship. They began to tell others. And then we talked yesterday about the high cost they paid as they imitated Paul, as Paul imitated Jesus. Jesus spoke the good news of the kingdom. The power of God went forward. Signs and wonders demonstrated in the preaching of Jesus, the presence of the kingdom. And Jesus joyfully lived and expressed his love for the Father and unity in it, but he paid a price for it. And then Paul did the same. he experienced the glory of Jesus on the road to Damascus. He experienced the presence and power of the Spirit. He came to see, yes, he is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord, the Messiah, the King of all creation, the only Savior of the world. And Paul saw it, and by the grace of the Spirit, that good news transformed his life. And he went forward, and he was persecuted again and again and again. And he saw that in these brothers and sisters. So, brothers and sisters, the gospel in this world never goes forward in a comfortable limousine, so to speak, or like a jacuzzi, you know, ride or whatever. It's, I know I'm mixing metaphors here, but basically, it's not comfortable. There's a cost. Why? Because there's a kingdom of darkness that hates the gospel and is in full-blown resistance to the kingdom of God. So we ended yesterday in verse 9 as Paul saying, not only are they imitating, but the gospel's going forth from them. So parishes, dioceses, individuals, families, is the gospel going forth from us in some way? Are we imitators of Christ? Are we paying a price for being united to Jesus and his way of life? Are we willing and open to sharing it with other people? Or do we hold back constantly because we're afraid of what people might say, feel, or do? And Paul says, for they themselves report concerning us what a welcome we had among you and how you turned to God from idols. There's still a lot of idols in the world. These were, again, were Greek polytheists worshiping various idols. Their whole life was wrapped up in it. Paul says, you turn from idols, no longer to serve those idols, which in reality are less than you because they're made up by men, but you've now come to serve not a dead God or a false God, but a living and true God. You know, there's idols in the world right now. I mean, there still are pagan idols, like pagan false religious idols, but there's other more dominant idols, like money can become an idol. Sex can become an idol. Power can become an idol. Look what's happening with, I mean, I personally think this AI, which could do a lot of good stuff, there's a dimension of this where people are responding to it like an idol. It's going to solve all our problems. It might cause some others, but it is the greatest thing ever. Well, anything made by human hands alone, it can be good, but it's always going to be laced with some layer of darkness, of gray, of smoke, because it comes from fallen human hearts. It can't save us. It can be an instrument, it can be helpful, but it all depends whose hands it's in and the intentions of those who are driving it, controlling it. It's always a mixed bag. But people lean on it in such a way that it's going to save us from A through Z. We put our hope in things that we create. Guess what? AI is going to eventually pass away because the whole world's going to pass away. And the question is, are we ready to die and enter the kingdom of God? Are we living in the kingdom now that will never pass away? So Paul is saying, you now have turned to a living and true God, and you now wait for his Son from heaven, the return of the Lord, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. What is the wrath to come? It's God's final righteous judgment against all the rebellion that is in the world. He's going to, in the end, when the Lord returns, he's going to deal with all the rebellion, the ignoring of God, the rejection of God, the mockery of God, and the rejection of Jesus that's in the world. Paul knows it. The brothers and sisters who came out of that life of darkness knew it, and they were waiting with a posture, an alert posture. They knew they were going to meet the Lord. They knew they were united to the Lord. You know, some of the communities felt he's coming back like within decades, but they knew now that Jesus is the one who knows the truth about everything. He's the one who passed from death to life. He's bigger. He swallowed up man's great enemy, death itself. Death could not hold him down. The new reality, the new creation, the new humanity, the only future, which is an eternal future, that is worth living, is the life of the kingdom of God and the love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all time. They know, and this is why they're urgent. They want people to be ready for the return of the Lord. They want people to be ready for the day of judgment. That's at the core message. And today, friends, so much of the message has just been reduced to, I mean, look at the glory and the amazing reality of what Paul is preaching and what he knows for sure, having encountered the glory of God, and how he's seeing it in the brothers and sisters as a lived reality. And now it's so much of what the church's life gets reduced to, again, a moral system. Behave, be good, be nice to your neighbor. Those things are all good, but it's not the core message of the gospel. And it doesn't light the fire of burning love that is filled with an urgency, understanding with a renewed mind what's actually at stake for every single human being on the planet. But instead, it's a kind of lazy presumption that, hey, all's good. Everybody's good. Oh, we got a few bad apples here and there, but basically everybody's good. Everybody's following their own bliss if they're following their own bliss and their own, you know, identification of their own reality, and they're being true to that reality, then they're on the path. We're all on the path, all going up the mountain in different ways, but we're all going to get to the same place. And everybody's a child of God. All that, it's baloney. It's not true. And because of it, it causes us to be indifferent about the eternal destiny of people's lives. Now, here's Paul in chapter 2. I'm going to just touch on this and then finish it tomorrow. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our visit to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, stripped, beaten, imprisoned, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the face of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from error or uncleanness, nor is it made with guile. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, we speak not to please men, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never used either words of flattery, as you know, or a cloak for greed, as God is our witness, nor do we seek the glory of men. This is a big deal. It's a big deal for every preacher of the gospel, for every spiritual leader, to really examine our hearts. What is it that steers our message? What we say, what we won't say. It's critically important to be totally honest with the Lord. Let's tune in tomorrow. I hope you can tune in tomorrow. Let's go deeper into this. Thank you. God bless.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.